Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, you're very welcome back to Saturday's Off the Ball. We're live from the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation. And as ever, if you want to get in touch with us, you can text us here on 53106, or you can also get us on Twitter at Off the Ball. Now, time for us to turn back to the Lions. Keith Wood is with us. Keith, how are you doing?
I am in great form, thank you. I have a bit of a smile.
What was your full-time reaction?
My full-time reaction, I think, was similar to everybody else. My young fellas were looking at me saying, well, what happens now? And nothing happens now. And it's a little bit unsatisfying at the end of it. But you know what? I couldn't kind of get away from the fact that I think the Lions have accomplished a huge amount over the last couple of weeks.
It's funny.
You know, it felt somehow fair.
It's funny, we were talking during the week about success or failure. You know, as a Lion, you were like, it's a failure if you don't win the Test Series, and you still had regrets about the Test Series you didn't win. And yet, this one is neither a success nor a failure.
No.
Maybe
we never
it is
touched,
a success. We accomplished a lot.
Yeah, we never touched on this one. They did accomplish a huge amount. I thought they played well. I thought they, not all the time, but I thought they attacked when they needed to enough in this game in particular. If we just talk about this game, they managed to stay in the game for the first half, and they'd no business staying in the game. They could have been 20 points down very easily. Their scramble defence and their organised defence was excellent. The amount of pressure they put on the All Blacks was fairly significant, but still the All Blacks butchered two or three really easy try-scoring opportunities. They butchered them. And I will say, you look at Beauden Barrett, who I think is a class act, and you just can't win Test matches if you're not knocking over your kicks.
We were getting a lot of texts about this. I'll get to those in a minute, and we'll talk about Barrett and his missed kicking, but I want to just play some of the audio that's starting to come through now. Sam Warburton here, the Lions captain. Here he is speaking to Sky Sports after the match. Have a listen.
Sam, they call it kissing your sister for a very good reason. How does it feel right now? Bizarre?
It's a difficult one. It's got to be a first, surely, I think. As difficult as players, when you go through all the pressure and the emotion of the week, you know, obviously it's all geared towards winning, but I guess it's better than losing, I guess. We didn't lose a series, but to be honest, I'm a bit speechless. Not really sure what to make of that. I was ready to go into extra time. But, well, my legs are, I'm cramping up everywhere. But, yeah, I'm not sure what to make of it. I guess, you know, we've come to the double world champs, and what they've done over the last 6 to 8 years has been incredible. So to come here and not get beaten, I guess, is something, and we can take some credit for that. You know, we knew the challenge was going to be coming into this. We got 6 to 8 weeks to become the best team in the world, and we had to beat outright definitely the best team in New Zealand, because they've been backing it up for years and years. And so yes, we can take definitely some positives from getting a draw, but obviously as players, yeah, you're gutted to seek that win.
Real rope-a-dope stuff in the first half, Sam. I'm not sure how the Lions hung on, or how you got to halftime only 12-6 down. What kept you in it, and what kept you thinking we can win this?
I think our discipline was a bit better this week. We knew that was something we had to work on, but we felt, you know, when we had territory and we were going through phases, we were putting some pressure on the All Blacks, you know. So we were just trying to get some territory and stay down there. So when we did, we made it quite difficult for them to get out of their half. But proper epic Test match. Chatting to Kira, and then 3 minutes ago, he said, "Wow, this is rugby," and it was. You know, it was a great game to play in, and a lot of respect from both teams. So great Test match to be involved in.
Back to back Lions captain Sam, and unbeaten Lions captain. Hey. No one's done that.
I mean, there's no individual accolade, I think, when you're captain. This is a massive team effort. It wouldn't have mattered if I was captain or any of the other 40 guys. This is a huge team effort, not just the 41 blokes here, but the environment and culture has been developed from the 80 who are in with the squad, from the staff and management, and they've all been driving the same thing, which is a Test Series win. So credit to our team. You know, we've had a fantastic team, and it's been a privilege to work with them.
Yeah, I guess he's a little bit disappointed when they're talking about the Test Series win. A texter here, Mark and Lucan, the talk all week from players, management and Lions pundits was a chance to make history, be heroes, etc., etc. With 5 minutes to go, they have a chance with a penalty to achieve all that, and they go and grasp it with both hands. Oh no, they don't. They kick the points and bottle the chance to win. Shocking, he says. Was the decision to kick the points the right one? Warburton afterwards says he'll think about that for a long time.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about that. Do you know what? It didn't even cross my mind. I thought there was enough left in the game to kick those points and to keep up the level of pressure. Lions didn't look like they were going to score a try. Didn't look like that for a lot of the game. And I think they kicked the kick with a view of trying to get another kickable effort. And they actually got down the field. You often only get one chance, and they got down it and they spilled the ball, and then that chance was gone. So I don't know. I don't. Retrospective, whether you can say he shouldn't have kicked it or should have. I think he should
maybe
have kicked it.
Maybe one of the things.
Yeah, but and maybe and hope to get another one. Yeah,
they'd had a couple of misfires at the line-out. Now, obviously, they changed the hooker after the second not straight line-out. So maybe Warburton's thinking, look, we haven't actually had a 100% record from our line-outs here when Jones is gone. Although, I don't know, maybe if you've replaced the hooker, there is a chance that he's going to be okay.
Yeah, maybe. But there are all the things that you have to go through your head. But I also think when you haven't looked like scoring a try, that the opportunity that you're putting the All Blacks under pressure, and they were under huge pressure in the second half, that they might give away another penalty and you bang over your points and that's it, and that's a win as well. So I don't know that you can just take it as that. You can be very calm and relaxed when you're sitting on your sofa away from home, away from the match. That's a hard decision made at that particular period of time, and even now I'm looking at it saying, yeah, I'm uncertain myself.
Tending towards that he made the right decision to go.
Oh,
for
I think
points.
He made the. I actually think he made the right decision. Yeah, but I think yeah, okay. You can see the other side. But I think he made the right decision.
The New Zealand media have obviously been entirely focused on the decision to overturn the penalty and turn it into a scrum at the end of the game. Now this comes down to interpretation of laws and two separate laws. There's one where it looks like Roman Poit has made exactly the right decision. The second law that comes after that puts more context on if there's any kind of sense of advantage being accrued from the team, then it automatically becomes a penalty again. What's your take on what happened? Because I don't think we've ever seen, you know, the whole way, you know, don't argue with the referee, he's not going to change his mind. Well, maybe he just has.
Maybe you can. Well, it goes to the Scotland-Australia game in the World Cup. That's where the precedent was set. That you can't change your decision on the TMO for something like that. I looked at it, and it was funny because I couldn't figure out what the hell had happened. First, I thought Kieran Reid had hit him in the air, and that actually he had a proper effort at going for the ball. Secondly, I kind of missed it. It was like a pinball there for a second. I didn't see the accidental offside. And when I looked at it again, when the referee went back to it again, I said, you know what? Within the spirit of the game, he may have made the right decision. And then it showed another view, and Owens had caught the ball. And for me, it's a penalty. And I find a huge level of frustration, Jerome. We've said this time and time again, that games often sit on an interpretation of what a referee feels he's doing at a particular moment in time. And it makes it very hard. It makes it incredibly hard when you go to a TMO, because everything changes in a TMO. Everything slows down. It doesn't have the same instance. His gut instinct at the time was that that was a penalty. And I think you should be going in terms of that. Otherwise, you can revise every situation that happens in the game. Now,
yeah.
And that for me, that's where I was sitting at. I thought it was a penalty. Used yeah, to say that Bowden Barrett would have kicked it over. He could have missed it because he missed two very kickable ones already.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Or maybe they take him off it and let Jordy Barrett kick it, and he hasn't missed anything. So let's talk a bit about Barrett's kicking, because he's been getting hammered by the New Zealand media for his kicking performance over. Sonny Bill Williams obviously is coming in for more criticism from the New Zealand media. Apparently it's him who cost them the entire test series, even though he wasn't even playing today. Yeah. But that's just a little bit of the pie-eyed stuff that you're getting from those guys, which is... I recommend everybody goes and reads the stuff.co.nz website and their coverage of it. It is hilarious. But Barrett's kicking was an issue over two games. And for all of Steve Hansen's amazing coaching abilities, he decided that's fine, I'm going to leave you on that. And maybe that's just the wrong decision when you do have other kickers in your lineup who are capable of hitting 90, 100%.
Well, I think so. And I said it on Wednesday night or Thursday night rugby, I think we had this week, that, you know, we won in South Africa. We played bloody well and we put our bodies on the line and we did all those sort of things. But South Africa's kicking was crap. You know, I mean, I felt confident they weren't going to kick the ball over the bar. And, you know, that's a really good thing to have. And you're always looking for a chink in the armoury. And Jordy Barrett hasn't shown any chink kicking this year. He's just smoothly popped the ball over consistently. Beauden Barrett has had some shockers. And there was a lot of pressure on with that. And I know his second kick was a beautiful, glorious kick from the touchline that was over it. But, you know, if you're having a clinch kicking competition, who do you want? Would you want the guy who's 9.5 out of 10? Or do you want a guy who is 7.5 out of 10? You have to go for the higher one. So I thought that was a poor call from Hansen. But I thought he was under huge pressure. He was under... he was just under colossal pressure this week. He was able to generate an awful lot at the start of the tour, and a lot of it was against Gatland, and not just his, but all his comments were building up his team. And in the last week, I thought the All Blacks were in a kind of unusual position where they weren't the underdogs, but they were under an awful lot of pressure, and they didn't react very well under pressure today. I mean, Savea should have scored at a canter. It was a straight pass to the hands. He should have scored, but I thought the pressure showed in some of the play and maybe in some of the decision making. But I mean, for me, I'm trying to get my head around whether it's a great thing or a bad thing. I have to say I go to the great thing first, because I think there is an achievement down there. They haven't lost a series down there. I know maybe you're grasping at something, but I think we look back and say for a decent team that went out there to be able to deliver come test time in the manner in which they did against a very much heralded All Black team, I think they did something substantive.
Should there be a situation where you play extra time if the first two tests are drawn, or as in split, and then the third one is a draw?
Do you know what's different makes things special? I don't know. We're always talking about player welfare and how do we look after our guys a little bit better and all that sort of stuff. This is so rare in sport that actually you can have a shared series and shake your hands at the end of it and no loss. Maybe that's not the worst thing in the world for something that is as unusual as the Lions.
Okay, there are some texts and comments coming in about that. We'll do them at the end because I want to get back to the Hansen issue. And okay, so over the last period of time, we've seen Ireland beat New Zealand in Chicago, and then in the next game, the New Zealand response, Rob Kearney was at the golf today, and he was saying that that first 15-20 minutes of the game back in Dublin was like something he'd never experienced before. The physical intensity of the All Blacks that day, because it was a backlash, because they had a chip on their shoulder, was literally the most intense 15 minutes of rugby that he'd ever seen. Here we've now seen the Lions, over the course of a period of time, ratchet up the pressure on and off the field, learn a little bit about managing the game plan, responding not so much on the fly in that first test, but certainly in the second and third test, coming up with different things and different challenges. Has the rest of the rugby world got an opportunity here to actually stop putting the All Blacks on a pedestal and stop giving them a psychological advantage and maybe try and somehow level the playing field 2 years out from a World Cup?
Well, there was a period of time where in the middle of the World Cup cycle, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, the All Blacks peaked and they'd hit a certain point, and then all the other international teams would say, that's the point, that's where we have to get to. We have to be able to get to that point, or we have to be able to stop at that point. And they had some losses which for New Zealand drove them on to further success, and that's why they ended up with the two back-to-back World Cups. One of the guys who comes out of this with unbelievable kudos is Andy Farrell, that he seems to have the knack to understand how to beat a New Zealand backline in as much as anything else, and the defence again was fantastic. So there's a player who seems to, or there's a coach who seems to have the answers to everything, and the teams that he's coached have brought that to play when it's been needed. And he has the most enviable record of any coach, I would say, against the All Blacks.
Yeah, he's now had coaching successes against them, both with England and Ireland, and now with the Lions as well.
Yeah.
Are they more human though after something like this? Like, do the rest of the world now look at this and think, actually, okay, so granted, the playing pool that the Lions have is going to be possibly significantly better than any of the individual countries on their own. But the style of play and the fact that you've got much longer to work with and you can work on patterns over a couple of years, does this not now strip away a little bit of the aura from the All Blacks to the point where we do stop assuming that they're going to hammer everybody?
Well, I would say that that first half and the amount of unforced errors in the first half. Now, some were forced, but there was a lot of unforced errors in that first half. Yes, that brings them down a peg. I think the key part of that is how the other teams react when they go to play them again. Are they going to continue with that level of defence, which takes a lot out of you? Though I think we've been very fortunate in this Lions tour not to have had too many injuries. And I'm hoping Shawnee O'Brien is okay and it's not too serious. But we, you know, we've been fortunate in that we've kept pretty much most of the test team together. So, I think it takes it a little bit away. You know, if of course it does. I mean, I had a long conversation with Sean Fitzpatrick over the tour in 1971, and he remembers it. He said all the All Black, all the New Zealand kids wanted to be Gerald Davis and Gareth Edwards. They didn't want to be the All Blacks. The All Blacks played a boring, stodgy game of rugby. The Lions on that tour played the most expansive and beautiful style of rugby with a lot of aggression. So every time there's a loss, there's a reaction. And it's up to the other teams to try and get their reaction to a level that they feel that they can compete and beat the All Blacks on their turf.
Okay, let's hear from Kieran Reid. I think his response is fairly similar, and obviously in the immediate aftermath, Sky Sports wanted to ask everybody, how does it feel?
Pretty hollow, to be honest, mate. It's, I guess, you know, you walk away of a draw, it kind of doesn't really mean much. You know, I'll look back on this in the future, you know, with a bit more pride, but, you know, yeah, I guess you got to look back on the series, it's pretty well fought out. Two teams couldn't be split, so that's the way it goes.
3 minutes away from the end there, Kieran, there was a penalty for offside that was downgraded to accidental offside. What was your view of the decision and what happened?
Oh, my view, it's a penalty. I think he ruled it correctly from the start, and I guess when you bring in, you know, replays and everything, and you'll get different decisions. That wasn't why we lost the game. It was, you know, it was an accumulation of everything throughout that game. So it's just, you know, it's one of those ones that goes against you. You've got to deal with it.
Fair to say tonight you had the right game plan, bang on the game plan, Kieran, just not the execution. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I guess that's fair, mate. I think, you know, we had a lot of endeavour, a lot of hard work from the boys, and, you know, perhaps we were just trying too hard. You know, wanted to put in a great performance, and, you know, we weren't able to, you know, this didn't click for us tonight in the series, you know, but really proud of the lads. You know, we stuck at it, and it's just one of those ones, mate. It's hard to know what you're feeling right now.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are talking about. Post-match comments from the players included hollow feeling, don't know how to feel, dissatisfied. Why, when this is reflective of the feelings of both players and fans, is there no media discussion on the need for extra time or a replay? Well, there can't be a replay, and I guess we've addressed the point that it is. From your perspective, what's rare is beautiful, Keith.
Yeah, it is. I mean, okay, I think we're all a little bit, you know, unsatisfied with it. You know, and if they do it to have... What else can you do? I mean, I can tell you that after having three tests played, the idea of trying to play another 20 minutes or 20 minutes a half or even 10 minutes a half, I think, is it's like cruel and unusual punishment. And you can't just pluck another game out of the hat that you haven't done. That's why in times past there were four test series, so that wouldn't really happen.
Then you could have two all.
yeah. You know, and so there's
no perfect solution to this, really.
I just look... what they have on Ryder Cup, which is the only other one that's kind of similar, is that a draw will go to the team that holds the cup. But bearing in mind, if that was the case, the last time they played was 2005, New Zealand would win. So that would be the other option. And I don't know that anybody would take any satisfaction with that. But yeah, do you know what? No, I loved it. So. I thought it was a cracking test match. That's something you have to look at. And I thought it was ebbed and flowed and there was mistakes. Farrell was poor for 10 minutes. He just seemed to totally lose his way for about 10 minutes and then had the nerve and the ability to be able to kick at goal. Johnny Sexton took the ball to the line. Sean O'Brien played well. Maro Toje was phenomenal. Sam Warburton, who had no form which means he didn't get picked in the first test, had no form at all, has put two back-to-back incredible performances. He was in the middle of everything and awkward all day today. And Jonathan Davies was brilliant, you know, and he's had an incredible series. And in my view, over the three tests, has been the Lions player of the series.
Is there ever a prospect where we decide to put a second out half outside Johnny Sexton from an Irish perspective? Or is that just because that was the players they have? Farrell probably deserved to be in the team, although he didn't play well at all, apart from his kicking, particularly in that first 60 minutes today. Is there any lessons there from an Irish perspective that Sexton can work with another out-half outside him?
Well, I think there's huge merit in that, actually. Whether we'll ever do it or not is something different. I think Johnny plays better when he's another playmaker with him, when the pressure is lessened slightly. He has looked far more engaged in a Lions jersey than he has in any other rugby jersey for the last year or two, I think. And, you know, I get worried when I see him going down a lot, getting injured a lot. But I do think he wants to play rugby. He doesn't want to have everything set just as so. And I think it might kind of bolster our chances a little bit more if we had that cutting threat.
Okay, some quick text again. Hill 16 boy on Twitter: Keith Wood dead right about the drawn series. The ending was like the Italian job, an anticlimax in the moment, but in the long run more memorable. Paul says fans don't look at it as a piece of history. Kicking for the corner and going for the winning try would have made heroes or memories. They could have died heroes, but they played league football. That's the point about that one. Somebody else was saying that they were dead right to take the 3 points. Yeah, the 100% correct decision. More than likely not going to score a try. They would have lost the series, says Noel Kyle. I just wonder about that, though. I think everybody gives you marks for trying to win and losing.
They don't if you lose.
You get the same kind of...
They don't give you... If they don't, it's brutal. I mean, that's why I love this program. I love Off the Ball. I love the opinions. I love the thoughts that are coming in. We can only give our view as we see it. You can't say it's right or wrong. That's why sport is fantastic, because it means a lot and means nothing in equal measure. And there's something great about that as well. So all of those people have valid points in what they're saying. Well, they should have, you know, for them, that's the right call. But for the guys that are on the field at the time, for the guys who know what it's like all the time, you're trying to make a determination, a probability of winning. They didn't kick for the draw. I can tell you that for certain. That kick to a goal wasn't, we'll kick for a draw. It's a kick so that you're in a position, if you get one more kick, you win the game.
And yeah, I get that. I just remember the O'Gara and him getting hammered for taking the chance from deep in their own 22 with the Gary Owen in the second test against South Africa, and Sean Edwards on the sideline going, kick it out, kick it out, kick it out. There was still half a minute left for them. South Africa would have got the ball back and they would have had another chance. South Africa ended up winning because there's a penalty and they lose the series. But I kind of still feel like the desire to play for a draw as opposed to the desire to go for a win, I'm more in the desire to go for a win camp not wondering.
Yeah, but I still think they went for a win. There was enough of time to put pressure, and New Zealand were under huge pressure. And there's no guarantee of scoring the try from the corner. And I'm not saying that, and like I'm kind of with you a bit on it, but if it was the last kick of the game, then it becomes a different question.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And also, I do think that the fact that they coughed up those lineouts and that they hadn't had dominance in the lineout probably factors into your thinking. Yeah. You're like, look, I need to get these points on the board and let's get the ball back. Although ultimately, having some playing time nearly cost them dearly. But for the intervention of Roman Poit, all in all, what are you going to remember about this? I mean, obviously, in the moment, you don't know what your memories are going to be or what you think are ultimately going to be the things that stay with you from this tour. But for a lot of people coming into it, there was skepticism about whether or not, because this is the end of this current cycle of Lions deal, there was skepticism about whether or not this mattered as much, particularly I think because the win in Australia was relatively bloodless. That was a very poor Australian team. The South African test series was decent, but it now seems like a long time ago, because obviously it is. They needed to be able to perform, they needed to get the team together, and they needed to put in stuff like and show that it's possible to bring a team of professionals who are knackered at the end of a long season up against the best team in the world. I think they've achieved quite a lot. That's what their accomplishments from like somebody who was relatively skeptical about the whole thing 6 weeks ago, who now thinks this is great.
Well, there's a whole variety of different elements to it, and if you just tick one off, say commercial, the Southern Hemisphere teams are not in the large markets like there are up around Britain, Ireland, France, and their unions suffer. And the Lions Tour is phenomenal for them. It's a huge fillip to their finances, and that is brilliant for it. So you'd want to be very careful of the law of unintended consequences of, if you stop the Lions, how much effect will that have on teams that we want to see all the time, right? So that's one part. Secondly, the Lions is something. It's special because it's every 4 years, and I know lots of people don't quite get it, but for a rugby player in these islands, it is the top of the tree. You know, it is the hardest standard that you can play at. So it is what they would want to do. The clubs may not want it. The international teams do want it because they get money from it as well. But it has to be figured out how it fits into a global season and how it fits into a 4-year cycle. Because I can tell you that the guys that come back from here will be shattered. Right, absolutely shattered. Not even if they're not injured, your propensity for injury in the following season is huge. If you don't get enough of a rest on the back of this, you'll find you're jaded at different times, and they'll be very, very fit. But it does exact a toll, and it exacts a toll the following year, and so those players have to be managed very well. And I don't know that we get it right. I've said all along there should be one summer in the cycle where there's no tour for senior players, where you can bring development tours and by all means get them somewhere. But one summer, I had pretty much 10 years of, and that's 20 winters, I toured every summer virtually. And even apart from seasonal affecting disorder, you know, you could do with a bit of sun at times, you know, but it can become relentless, and it's a hard game as it is. And I just think it needs to be tidied up a little bit more. And I think there needs to be a review of the Lions, but not a review with thinking that this is something that should be thrown out. It should be from a very positive format. How can we make it fit into the world game, and how can we maximise it? Because it is something that's very rare, something that can get 25,000 people to fly down to New Zealand to support it is very special. And you know, and by all accounts, the people down there have had a truly wonderful time, and it's been a lifetime experience.
Maybe give everybody who was on the tour 6 months off and tell them we'll see you sometime around December for pre-season training.
Well, that's a lovely thing to do, but that won't happen either. And the reality is, it has to happen now by way of a review for the next Lions tour. What you'd be hoping for now is that coaches and unions look at their players and say, yeah, on an individual case-by-case basis, what's the best thing for this guy? And treat them accordingly.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday, Keith. Great stuff. Thanks a million.
Brilliant. Cheers, lads.
Keith Wood joining us in the aftermath of a drawn test series. Finished 15-all, Roman Poit at centre stage at the end, where he reversed the decision to give New Zealand what more than likely would have been a game-winning penalty and turned it into a scrum. 53106 is the text number. We've had a big response to that. We'll get through some of that. We'll also run you through everything else that's going on in the world of sport today right after these.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.